Ain't gonna burn ourselves out no more. Ain't gonna burn ourselves out no more. Got each other on our side, plus all the folks at Fried, the Burnout Podcast with Kate Donovan.
You deserve more than feeling constantly fried to a crisp. Welcome to Fried, the Burnout Podcast, where you get the understanding, the community, and the information you need to end burnout for good. I'm your host, Kate Donovan, and all of my work focuses on hashtag ending burnout culture. Outside the pod, you'll find me on stages at conferences giving keynotes, in offices providing corporate trainings, doing virtual VIP one-on-one work, or supporting our group program, Unfried, that is run by my right-hand woman, Sarah Vosen. Both Sarah and I have been through burnout and came out stronger, happier, and more fulfilled, and we want that post-burnout growth for you, too.
Hey, Fried fam. You have heard us talk a lot recently about the fact that there's no perfect way out of burnout and that we have avoided creating this step-by-step path that everyone must follow because we know that everyone is a little bit different. And underneath that, we do have actually some pathways that we want you to follow, which seems maybe a little, I don't know, back and forth. But what we need you to understand when we say there's no perfect pathway is that there might be things that come up along the pathway that you choose, along the work that you choose to do to get out of burnout that don't quite fit for you. And that's okay. That doesn't make the entire process wrong, right? That doesn't make the entire podcast wrong if in one episode somebody said something that didn't resonate. So the idea is to expand your commitment to making choices that align with you, while also trying to keep you on some sort of pathway that we know actually works. So we use two different frameworks to build our programs and processes. And we usually overlap these two different things. The first one is the Chinese medicine element system. This is something that I wasn't doing much until Sarah came into Fried a few years ago. And Sarah has been doing this in various forms for forever, really, since we were in school. Because we both studied Chinese medicine, using the framework of the elements as a guide to help make sense of things really helps us to sort through and put things in the right place. For us, when there's a lot of anger going on in your process, we know that that's a liver issue, and that can mean that there's certain things that we can tell you to do in your world that are going to make a bigger difference than they would for others. If you have a lot of grief or sadness, then we know that for you, there's some sort of lung thing going on. And when I say these organs, I don't mean the organ themselves, but the organ system as it functions in Chinese medicine. So we would say with grief or with sadness that there's something going on in the lungs. So breathing exercises might be more powerful for you than they might be for someone else. So we can use that. We always use those things in the background of everything that we're sharing and teaching because that's innate to our knowledge and it's built into our bodies and brains at this point. So even if we weren't trying to do that, we would probably be doing that anyway. Now, the layer that goes on top of that is the Fried framework, F-R-I-E-D. I was planning on this before I was kind of going through what I wanted to say today. And I saw F-R-I-E-D written on my notepad and it made me think of Method Man, like M-E-T-H-O-D, man, F-R-I-E-D, that's Fried. So yeah, if you grew up on Method Man, then welcome to the club. But the Fried framework has everything that you need in order to recover. Is generic enough to cover a lot of different processes and specific enough to give you guidance if you feel lost. Are you ready? Let's go. F stands for facilitate safety. We've spoken about this a lot on the podcast over the years, that in order to help our nervous systems come back into a place where they can respond more appropriately, actually, well, they're always responding appropriately. There's we're interpreting things funny, and there's sometimes too many things going on. But in order for us to have a certain amount of buffer that allows us to be flexible and adaptable and resilient and bounce backable, that we need to have a little bit of buffer that when, if we're triggered, it doesn't send us off a cliff, right? So facilitating safety is what allows us to do that. How we facilitate safety will be different for each and every one of you. We need to consider in this facilitation of safety, your internal body. So how you're feeling safe internally, which to me, this is about peeing when you have to pee, et cetera, because this is about listening to your body and responding appropriately, letting your body know that you've got its back, right? That you're there, that you're going to show up and respond and give it what it needs. This induces feelings of safety. The other thing that induces feelings of safety could be shifts that you make in your home, like where you store your knives, or if you have a lot of sharp corners, making them a little more rounded, or adding flowers, or getting softer blankets, or getting mugs that feel better, or. So there's a million things that you can do in your home environment that help facilitate safety. Maybe you want an alarm system. Maybe you need an extra lock. Maybe you want to join a neighborhood watch. Maybe there's so many different things that can facilitate safety for you in your home. So we have this internal body safety, this external environmental safety, and then we have safety in relationships, which you cannot always control the other half of a relationship, right? So what you can do for safety in relationships is extend safety to people in relationships. And then where you're finding that you're unsafe in relationships, you can pull yourself back, right? You can create a boundary there. You can protect yourself by stating a boundary. For the external stuff, let me get you a date. I want to see exactly when this is coming, because I did an episode with someone who will talk about making your home. Oh, it already came out. Wonderful. So in the beginning of June, you listened to an episode with Jamie Rabin, who told you all about how to use feng shui and energy flow to think about how to create harmony and feelings of safety in your home. So F in FRIED stands for facilitating safety. And this applies actually, so we just talked about it from a personal perspective, but this also applies. This is the same framework I use when I'm working in companies, when I'm working with a team or with an executive team to increase their their own resilience in their workforce, to decrease their burnout ability, et cetera. Facilitating safety is the same thing there. So we're talking about psychological safety, but we're also talking about what kind of chairs we're using. Like if the chairs are not ergonomic, I'm not going to have a company buy 5,000 new chairs on a Tuesday. But there are a lot of things that companies can do to increase feelings of safety. And that also includes things like color schemes. I know that when you have a logo and when you have a brand, your company's going to look like that. And you might be able to use more muted tones of your colors in the office to make your office a little more serene and a little more calm, if that's what you're going for, unless you want people to be super high energy all the time. In that case, like I have a sunshine yellow wall in front of me, use that, you know, that's fine too. But facilitating safety goes for whether we're doing this work one-on-one, whether we're doing it in the Unfried program, or whether I'm doing this with a team or a company for a longer term training. That's number one. Number two, the R. So FRIED, facilitate safety. Number two, R is reprioritize. There was a post on LinkedIn not that long ago, and the person who wrote it is a burnout professional, and I wish I could remember their name off the top of my head so I could give them credit, but I can't, so I'll try and tag them when it comes out. They said that in order to recover from burnout, you have to accept that some of your life has to change. This is such a hard thing. I have so many people asking me how they can get back to normal. I don't actually want you to get back to normal. Normal is what got you here. So we need to figure out what your new normal could be that can allow you to live sustainably and have well-being for the long term in your life. So when we're reprioritizing, we are again using boundaries. So boundaries has come up in facilitating safety and reprioritizing. We need to know what your values are. We need to know what your priorities are. We need to understand that it's okay for you to leave a dream job if that dream job isn't actually a dream job anymore. Somebody just posted that on LinkedIn this morning that they listened to Fried and it helped them make the decision to leave their quote unquote dream job, but they're much happier and healthier a year later because they're not in that job anymore and they're not letting it consume them and it's not taking over their entire lives. When I'm working with companies, this reprioritization is also about making sure the company's spoken values and actions are the same, making sure we all know what the priorities are and that we understand that not everything is on fire. We talk a lot about this is, listen, everybody should start doing this right now. We talk a lot about making shorter meetings. 25 and 50 minute meetings should be the standard. It has been shown in study after study after study that when you take more time in between meetings, your brain actually literally works better. You have time to tend to your physical needs and you have time to move away from the computer for 5 seconds so that you can refresh. But you have more creative ideas and better problem solving when you are not back to back to back to back to back on Zoom all day, which is pretty incredible, if you ask me. So we're doing that also. We're doing that individuals. We're doing that in the workplace. Next thing on the list is internal world. Okay. So Fried, facilitate safety, reprioritize. I is for internal world. Internal world in an individual is all of the things that you need to understand yourself, understand how you're showing up in your own life. This is unwinding some of the patterns or upgrading some of the coping mechanisms that added to your burnout ability over time. This is about understanding what your BRFs and BPFs are, your burnout risk factors and burnout protection factors are, so that you can sort of work them out yourself. This is how you show up for yourself. This is also how you draw a line in the sand, figuring out which things are yours to fix and control and which things you either have to let go of or buffer so that you can live with them. Right? So this is also about like how you communicate with your emotions. This is self-talk. This is mindset. This internal world is all of those pieces. When we're working with an individual, it's all of those pieces. When we're working with a team, this is where the one-on-one work comes in. This is where the resentment is your superpower work comes in. So we do this work in teams as well and give everybody back an ounce of autonomy to understand that they can influence the situation and they have some control. This is also the place where we help managers, especially mid-level managers, but managers and leaders draw the line between what they're responsible for doing, which is facilitating safety and making sure our priorities are clear and reprioritizing. But they can't be responsible for, if you're an employee, they can't be responsible for your perfectionism or your people pleasing or your, right? They can facilitate safety that might make it easier for you to shift those patterns, but they can't shift those patterns for you. So when we're doing this work in a company, what we do is help people to understand what management and leadership can do and what is really not their job and what they should be either suggesting that somebody take advantage of an EAP or sending someone to us for more personalized coaching or working with a therapist or whatever it happens to be, right? So we have facilitate safety, reprioritize, internal world. I'm reading my notes so that I don't forget anything. Then we have E. The E in Fried stands for explore what's possible. We've spoken about this at length. When you are burnt out, it is really hard for you to imagine that different versions of your life are possible. You feel stuck. You feel like you can't move. You feel like if you do something, your finances will fall apart. Your family will fall apart. You must get a divorce. You have to leave your job. Everything is going to absolutely explode. And usually, in 99.9% of cases, there is a middle ground somewhere to play with that you haven't considered. This is for two reasons. One, because your burnt out brain doesn't have the capacity for that level of perspective. And two, because most likely if you ended up in burnout, you are a person that resorts to all or nothing thinking, which is not your fault, but is true. So you get stuck in these. I just had this call with a client recently where I said, well, what about this as a solution? And she went, oh, I've never even thought of that. It was literally taking the two things that she said, these are my extremes and I hate both of them, and me saying, well, what about if you just do the middle? And she said, well, I haven't considered it. And it completely opened up a whole new perspective. Whether or not she'll choose to do that is totally irrelevant, because what we need in this E phase is the freedom to explore what is possible. And sometimes to explore what is possible, we have to look at other people's lives and say, well, if they did it, maybe I can do it. Because most of the time what we're saying is they did it, but I can't do it because X, Y, Z, A, B, C, and all the reasons. But what if you could? What if it was possible? What if that thing that you're yearning for is actually not that far out of reach? What if? So E is about opening up your vision, making room for outside suggestions. And then once you realize there's a path that you might want to explore, your job is to take tiny steps toward it and continuously evaluate based on your internal world that you've already learned, based on your internal world and what your body is saying and how you're reacting, based on all of those things. You see if the changes you're making are taking you in a direction that you want to go. And if they are, you continue. And if they're not, it's okay. You shift, you pivot, you make another decision. So instead of blowing everything up, instead of quitting and shifting and firing people and all the other things, we make small incremental changes and see if we can't recalibrate life and ourselves to be in a better place without all that much shift. This is especially important when we're working within a company. Exploring possibilities means asking questions like, can we make the meetings 25 and 50 minutes? Most companies have never considered that because we're so accustomed to doing things on 15-minute increments. Why? 15 minutes, 30 minutes, 45 an hour. Why? There's no reason for it. It doesn't matter. Right? There are some of you that are in billable work that are saying, well, those 6-minute increments really matter. Well, then take off a 6-minute increment. That's fine. Whatever increment you want. But what I want you to consider, and if you're managing a team or if you're in a company, is that sometimes these small changes that you can make can shift people's health long-term, not just their mental capacity to be at work, not just their engagement, not just the company's bottom line, but also what the company spends on healthcare long-term, and also this person's life. So E is exploring what is possible, allowing yourself to dip your toe into the world of possibility and seeing if maybe that's doable. I had a client a few years ago that had this big dream, which was like, but I can't do it. I can't move my whole family. It's not possible. I'm stuck in this job. I'm responsible for this. I'm responsible for that. Within 8 months, we had finished our coaching. I got an email. By the way, we're going. 8 months before, it was completely impossible. The move was completely impossible for so many reasons. But what if it's not impossible? So we have facilitate safety, reprioritize, internal world, explore possibilities, and D, the D in FRIED stands for dedicate yourself. Committing to a step-by-step process of coming out of burnout means that you are going to fall off the wagon many times and then say, "What? Time to recommit." That's how you make the dedication. Being as consistent as you can, and then not judging yourself for when you fall off the wagon. This is the same exact process if we're working with individuals or when we're working with a team. You fall off the wagon, okay, recommit. Dedicate yourself to living a burnout-free life. Dedicate yourself to living a life that feels like you want it to feel, rather than looks how you think it should look. I'm going to say that again. Dedicate yourself to living a life that feels how you want it to feel, rather than looks how you want it to look. I don't really care if you have a checklist that you've just gone down and said, but my life should be good because I've got all the things. Not if you feel like shit. There was an Instagram post recently that said, having a regulated nervous system is the biggest success. Like, success is your nervous system being in a good place. And the words regulation and dysregulation around nervous system, we could have a whole conversation about that. But if we just go back to this idea that the body is designed to not stay in perfect harmony, the body is designed to get pushed out of center and then come back to some middle-ish range. So if you are in an air-conditioned room and then you go outside and it's 97 degrees Fahrenheit, that's what, 32 degrees Celsius or something. I just made that up, but around that somewhere. You go outside, it's hot, basically. Your body gets into a state where it gets hot. So it sweats and cools you down. Your body is designed to be able to respond to any kind of stressor that it receives, mental, physical, emotional, or otherwise. So our job in burnout recovery is to get you to a place, not where your life is completely perfect and everything is lovely and you're never triggered, but to get you to a place as a company, as a whole being, as a company, or as an individual, to get you to a place where you can be thrown off center and you come back to your middle-ish, where you're wavering anyway. Your body is never still. It's always balancing something. It's balancing your digestion, your water, your temperature, your everything, your heartbeat, your respiratory rate. We just want to get you back to a place with relative ease where your body is middle-ish, right? It's called homeostasis, but the old word is homeostasis, but the newer thought about this is that it's a homeodynamic state. This is this dynamic state that helps us continuously pass through this even, this middle point. So we're going for middle-ish with enough buffer that you can be thrown to the left and come back to the middle-ish without too much trouble. Thrown to the right, come back to the middle-ish without too much trouble. When people are saying that they want you to have a regulated nervous system, this is what we mean. So you dedicate yourself in this last step to continuously committing to finding your middle-ish and how far your buffer goes. So we have the FRIED framework: facilitate safety, reprioritize, internal world, explore possibilities, and dedicate yourself. So while each of those things can be done in a million different ways, and we will have different suggestions for every person that we talk to and every company that we work with within that framework still does exist, and every single part of it is necessary for creating a burnout-free life. So what I would love to know this week is, which of these things do you want to be working on right now? Which piece of this framework is most important to you right now? If you are on the newsletter, you can just hit reply to my weekly email that comes out on Sundays and let me know which one you want to work on. If you're not on the newsletter, you can find me all over the interwebs and let me know that way. But if you want to be on the newsletter, you get invites to office hours, you get research that I come across, you get what we're up to, you get whatever we're offering at the moment, you have first dibs, especially things like Unfried. You can get on the wait list because we link it in almost every newsletter. And that's a first come, first serve thing. So it's important to be there. But really, I just want to know, what are you looking for right now? Which of these five frames could you step into a little bit more to make some progress on your recovery? Can't wait to hear. See ya.
Ain't gonna burn ourselves out no more. Ain't gonna burn ourselves out no more. got each other on our side, plus all the folks at Fried, the Burnout Podcast with Kate Donovan.